Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You are David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, Understanding the Bible. It's where we go through slowly and methodically. We look at every word and every sentence, and tell you what, there's a lot of mysteries in here. God even says there's mysteries in here that He wants you to go in here and search for. Don't just accept what you hear in church on Sunday. You know, in church, everybody's all pretty and they smell good and everything is all choreographed, but there's a lot of stuff in this book that your pastor doesn't know. Simply because he doesn't read it or never read it enough, or they didn't teach him. They taught him what religion wants him to teach. It's, you got to get in here for yourself. I was Pentecostal for years and years, grew up that way. And when I finally read the book for myself and started devouring it, I got so angry at the lies I had heard out of the pulpits. Not intentional lying. They were taught this, and it was just a job, and this is what they were taught, and this is what they're going to preach, because obviously this is what they learned, and that's what they want to preach to you, what these men taught them. You got to get in here and dissect it for yourself. You know, this is not the first time man has been on this earth. God flooded it once before, put out the sun. You ain't heard that in church, have you? It's right here. Starts in Jeremiah. And you go back to Genesis. And it all starts again with let there be light for at least the second time. But just so many. I dare you to go to WVFFradio.com and look at episode 1. Episode 1 will open your eyes. Follow along. We read out of the King James. It's the most accurate English Bible I believe there is. No English Bible is accurate. 100%. You got to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek for that. But it is the most accurate. And I tell you, it has everything that it needs to lead you to salvation. But there's a lot of storylines that are left untold in the English Bible. And that's what we're trying to fill in for you here today. God gave the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments, to Abraham. Said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, when his children couldn't do that, that simple thing, I say it's simple, but I struggle with it too, and so do you, if you're honest. Follow me with all your heart. You know, there are different levels to that. Some days you're going to be following God so astutely, and other days, not so much. But God is the judge of the heart. He's not a judge of the struggle between the heart and the flesh. He knows the flesh is powerful. It says so here in the Bible. He knows you will struggle against it because you're mixed with the seed of the serpent. The two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. You know, it all goes back to the stuff that's in this Bible that you've never heard about. And now we all got a little bit in us. A struggle. He doesn't judge the struggle. He judges whether the spirit man came out on top most of the time. And Jesus Christ will give you a handicap if the spirit man, who he put in the heart to take control of the mind, because God, the Bible says, the mind of the body is contrary to the will of God. So I place your spirit in the heart. Take control of the contrary mind and guide this abominable flesh down the narrow path.
Israel means to struggle with God.
To struggle with God. Yeah, that day that he wrestled with Jesus on the mound. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so much. It's you got to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be the best person that I can be today. You know, you may hit a score of 81% following God. You know, I'd love to score 81% every day, because sometimes mine's down to 49%. And I'm struggling to just not let this flesh have its way. And if you're honest, Christian, you admit it's the same process. When the flesh finally gets control, the spirit man goes to sleep. And we learning through the book of Kings mostly and Judges that excess in your life will do that. I'm talking about excess of the simple things, starting with food. Push back from the table. The spirit man goes into a food coma, believe it or not. You feed this body more than it needs, then it will want more of other stuff that it needs. It doesn't need, you know? Excess. Paul wrote about excess. All things must be kept in moderation. All things, he says, are legal for the Christian under Christ who has restored the first covenant. But not all things in excess are good for the Christian, you know? Bible, under the first covenant, there wasn't hardly anything illegal. No, don't worship any other god. Follow me with all your heart. And if you follow God with all your heart, you'll know what's good for you and what's not. You just must keep all of the pleasures, starting with the smallest ones, in moderation. God never wanted you to go through life and not have any pleasure. If you follow God with all your heart, the peace and understanding will lead you to the pleasures in this life that are really valuable. We're in the book of Joel. It was written between 500 and 700 years before Christ, at a time when Israel was in such bad shape. I mean, they had not taken the inhabitants of Canaan out like God told them. They're cursed because of it. They've mixed with the seed of the serpent because they left the inhabitants in the land. They're following after other gods. And the prophet Joel tells about the coming day of the Lord and the great, overwhelming outpouring of God's Spirit that we've seen in the last century. And then he tells about the great judgment of God coming. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the little book of Joel. And what you're going to see is that Christ will accept you right up to the moment he steps here. You know, and then there's still a reflection period after that. But you're kind of going to be on your own at that point to come to the conclusion. Holy Spirit's going to be taken out. At that point, it's you in this flesh body with no spiritual guidance trying to understand this chaotic world. I mean, it's laying in smoldering destruction at that point, trying to figure out who this God is that's just come and wiped out the armies of the world. You know, you got to make that choice before that time. It'd be very hard during that reflection period, but he still gives it to you. The grace of God. All right, book of Joel, chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Had this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? He references old men, and they're supposed to be the wise ones, the ones full of knowledge and remembrance of things past. He says, have you seen days like this in your father's time? The answer was no. Israel is in a state of debauchery. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation, the thing that Israel failed, teaching every generation about God. And we failed here in America. I failed here in America, teaching the next generation about God. That which the palm worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now he's describing there, which if you don't devour it and look at it, he's describing the nation of Israel right there. We are flat done. Everything is in destruction and ashes. I mean, even the things that the locusts didn't eat, the worms have eaten now. That's a metaphor for this nation is in bad shape, America. Our social fabric here is in this same situation, you know? It started with allowing a curse word on television. And look at it now. You know, it's absolutely in debauchery. And that's just a tiny portion of what I'm talking about. Our religion. I seen a story today. 122 Southern Methodist churches have wanted to pull out of the Methodist church. Right here in South Carolina. I think this happened last year or so, or the year before. And the Methodist organization took it to the Supreme Court to try to keep them in. The Supreme Court denied here. You know, you guys don't want us involved in you, and now you're having a squabble between yourselves.
And you're coming to us.
Yes, you're coming to us. They said, you know, yeah, you guys just go over there and solve your own problem. But, you know, those 122 churches didn't want woke and transgenderism in the church. This Bible says that there's no place for it in the church. There's no place for it in your nation. Can you blame these people? But no, the head of the Methodist organization they have become so corrupt. Yes. They're interested in offerings. And can we bring more in the church? Well, they don't have our ideals and beliefs. Well, can we change our ideals and beliefs just enough so they can come in? Yeah, I think the folks will go along with that. Yeah, we call it universal faith there. Yeah.
I studied on a guy, Alexander. It worked out for them,
yeah,
didn't it?
And that little scarlet thing that hangs on the cross on their logo, yeah, we'll make it a rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just having that moment that Moses and Aaron's hitting the deck. Oh, yeah.
Not again. Oh, down. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. And there we go. Jonathan clued us in on what that was. Because of this new spiritualism that's come across the land. And he's saying all of you are drunk with it. You just accepted it. For it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. Sounds to me like he's referencing the Holloway of Babylon, when they were all taken into captivity for 70 years. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Yeah, see where this new spiritualism has got you? Your nation is in disaster. Because you left, follow me with all your heart. And circumcise your children. How easy is that? And then when you couldn't do that, I put a statute of laws there that you could do things with your hands. I mean, if you can't get control of the mind with the heart, I'll give you things you can do with your hand so that you can at least practice religion in an effort to keep my attention. Religion will never save you. Religion is an act that you put this body through just to try to bring about some spiritualism. God wants a relation with you. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want your religion. He doesn't want your money. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley which the harvest of the field is perished. All of you have failed, from the priest down to the man that plants the seeds. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languished, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also. Now, these are a dual metaphor here. These are, you know, the place is in drought. These kinds of trees are growing up. But we will also notice that these reference types of people. You know, the greater stature of the trees, the more prominent the man is, the more wealthy the man is. The vine is dried up. You know, the more prosperous the man is. The tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, any tree that gave fruit, was a wealthy businessman. The palm tree also and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. You can only have peace and joy if your heart is following after God. Well, these guys, at this time, thank you, Jeroboam, king of Israel, made his own religion, set up two golden calves, one on each end of the state. That way, if you live down here, you can travel just a short distance to see this God that brought you out of Egypt, or you can go north and visit that God's twin brother that brought you out of Egypt, instead of traveling all the way from one side and going up to Shiloh, you know, or Jerusalem. Let's just make this convenient. Drive-through religion. Yes, we've noticed that. Yeah. And your COVID thing kind of brought that along. Just stay home and we can have morning worship on the radio.
Yeah, FaceTime or on the radio.
FaceTime. Or, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Internet religion. Fast food religion. God forbid the preacher go over 20 minutes. Everybody's looking at their watch. Some of them getting up to leave. I have attended some Pentecostal churches. You got up to leave before the sermon was over. They ask you why. One little motion to the ushers. They block the door.
Spotlight.
Oh, that lady preacher I had up in Maryland. She was tough. Good preacher. But if you dozed off, you would get a calling out from the pulpit at that instant that she noticed it. And I was in the Army at the time, and I was stayed up on CQ all night. So you stay up and watch the barracks. And I mean, up all day at work, CQ all night, and I'm sitting in church, and I doze off. And I snap back awake, so terrified that she had seen. Fear of God, no fear of the lady preacher in the pulpit.
It makes me think of the Blues Brothers when they're dealing with a nun with a ruler.
Oh, yo, it was the same way. But that snapped me awake so far, I didn't have any problem the rest of the sermon. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. The Levites have failed. We've documented that time and time again. The priests of the Almighty God are in it for money now. This is 2,500 years ago. Oh, have you seen any money preachers on TV today, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You send in this $1,000 seed faith offering. You will receive this 2x2 inch piece of cloth that I have personally prayed on. I wiped the sweat of my brow on it. And you can lay it on that pimple you have on your arm, and it will surely probably go away. Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe. Yes, yes.
It depends on how good you are.
God doesn't want your money. And God doesn't like priests and preachers that want your money. You know, Paul and the apostles, they traveled around preaching, and he also documents that they worked part-time jobs everywhere they went. Mm-hmm. He was a tent maker. Mm-hmm. You know, don't lay it on to the people to take care of you. Now, yes, if you have a large church pastor, and you are a full-time pastor, they should take care of you with a moderate, modest income and a modest dwelling, okay? Not these big, giant, multi-million-dollar mansions. There's no point in it. Solomon built God a house and built his house right next door, much more lavish. Where did that lead? That led to other gods, you know? And 1,000 wives. I got so many rooms in this mansion that I built, Jonathan. Yeah. Give me some wives.
Fill them with something.
I seen that catalog, those exotic wives catalog. Bring it hither.
Yeah.
Ministers of my God, for the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. He's saying, repent before it's too late. You're sitting in ashes now, this new religion, these new gods aren't helping you. What do you have to lose? Old men, tell the young men what you know of the centuries past, that your fathers forgot to tell you the whole story. Like the time they said, go get the golden box. It will save us.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody had partially told that king about the Ark of the Covenant and how God would go ahead of the armies and the box would be a symbol of God going ahead of the armies. But he didn't know about the God part. Go get the box. Yeah, the box has magical powers. It'll save us. Religion will not save you. God must be a part of what you're needing and what you're asking for. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Yes, it is, you know. And, that could be 1,000 years away. You know what? The day of the Lord is at hand for everyone within days. Dying is a part of living. Your day of the Lord may be tomorrow. Maybe today at 4:30. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our Lord? You remember when they were doing it modestly right? You know, everybody was scoring at least an 81% following God. The Levites were doing their religious duties properly. There was goodness in the land. There was plenty in the land. And then as that 81% of following God with your heart started to fall off, got down to around 50%, things started going bad. Dipped down into the 40s, other gods came in. And then it all went to hell, what we're seeing right here. Joel is telling us what all this has come. America, this is where we're at right now, America. Look at your television set. You can't even believe the news anymore. And very shortly, you will see things on the news that will not be real. They will look like real people talking. AI is unbelievable. You will see people that you recognize talking and saying things that they didn't really say. And you won't be able to distinguish between whether it was real or not. I just seen a thing on Super AI Elon Musk had put out. It said AGI, that's Artificial General Intelligence, is here next month. You're getting ready to release it right now, actually releasing it right as we speak. He said the step to Super AI will be 1 year from there. And Super AI will be sentient, will have all of mankind's knowledge, will develop its own beliefs within moments. He said, let me tell you, you could give it three sentences of a movie. You want to create a full-length two-hour movie. Give it a vague description of what the movie is about, plot. Give it a list of human actors you want in the movie. And within moments, that full-length movie is completed with music, everything, and you will not be able to tell it was not those men who filmed the movie.
That's insane.
It is scary.
Yes.
In fact, he used the word terrifying three times.
Yeah.
The seed is rotten under their clots. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down. For the corn is withered. You have no roots in God anymore. The seeds that he planted in the children of Israel have rotted because no one watered them. The priests all became corrupt. The fathers never told the sons and daughters who God was. And it all came about with excess, human beings and excess. How did the beast groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. And that's talking about people, not talking about trees and pastures. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Chapter 2, Book of Joel. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And I tell you what, I told you a minute ago, everyone has a day of the Lord within days. But the true day of the Lord, when he comes back and sets this world right, is just around the corner. I mean, I think just a couple, two or three years away, it all will begin. And then 7 years later, it will end. Day of the Lord. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong there hath not been ever, the like neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of my generations. Let's read that again. Let's start in chapter 2 again. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.